You are listening to the Hope Fellowship Church Podcast. To find more information about our church and ministries, check out our website at hopeandanderson.com. Now, this week's teaching.
Good morning, Hope Fellowship family. My name is Danielle. My family and I have been attending Hope for 6 years this weekend, actually. We moved down from Connecticut, so welcome all you newbies. If you could all please stand for today's reading. The passage today is Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Good morning. Oh, it's great to see you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us these last few weeks as we've talked about spiritual formation together. Today is our last Sunday to talk about that. Next week is Mother's Day. That is a reminder for those of you that have forgotten. I just saved your skin, okay? So feel free to thank me afterwards today. And then the Sunday after that, we start our summer series as we will preach through select parables of Jesus as we work our way through the summer months together. We're excited about that as well. So I want to do something for a moment, and that is that I love babies, okay? I love babies. So Charlie Norman is here this morning, and this is her first time with us. Can Emma and Abba stand up for a moment? Grandma and Grandpa stand up, and there she is. Show everybody. Now, if that doesn't warm your heart, that is absolutely amazing. There you go. I like that. That's perfect. Exactly what I did. Well, who does she belong to? Well, that's the grandparents, right? Well, Lizzie Norman is here, Lizzie Watson, and now she is Lizzie Norman, and she grew up here as well, and we're so glad to have her this morning. Lizzie also serves in the United States Navy, and we want to say thank you so much. We are very proud of you as well. Yes. Oh, she's beautiful. I just have to say it. Isn't that amazing? She's so radiant. Absolutely. So thank you for being here. Today I want to continue talking with you about spiritual formation for the next few minutes together. So we started a few weeks ago with me teaching on that Sunday morning about, well, week number one, what is spiritual formation? And so we went to this text in the book of Romans, chapter 8, which is absolutely powerful when it comes to understanding what this is in my life and your life. Let me read it to you, Romans 8 and 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. What this says to us is this, that God has a plan for us. And I'm just thankful that God has a plan. What is that plan for you and I? To be conformed to the image of his son, the scripture says, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we defined spiritual formation as the process of God shaping and forming us to become more like him through practices that were once unnatural for us before redemption. So I gave you the example as well a few weeks ago, is that before redemption, daily prayer was not a natural rhythm of your life. And you said, but Mark Steele, I'm struggling in that area. Well, let me remind you of something we also said, that this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. So I think take a deep breath and just relax for a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning, that we're walking a path together. This is a journey. It's a journey from that of redemption to that of glorification. It's the middle part of that, I think, that we struggle with the most, perhaps, that part that we call sanctification. In fact, sanctification, there's two parts to it. The first is mortification, and that is that dying to our sin and our old nature. And the second is vivification. And vivification simply means that we're coming to life in Christ. You say, Mark, that's a lot of Cajun words. It is, right? Definitely, there's a whole bunch of them there for sure. But what spiritual formation does in my life, in your life, those rhythms that God has given us, it helps us in that middle space to become conformed to his image. As we grow and mature in him, that we become conformed to his image. And maybe you're looking at this, you're thinking, okay, Mark, I want to get started right now, then I'm going to start doing this, and I make a list. No, no, I want you to stop for a minute before you make any list about spiritual formation in your life, and to realize that this is about relationship first. That's where we begin, that we start the understanding of this with that you are saved by grace through faith, not by works this morning. Just get that into your heart. Spiritual practices do not save us, but they build on that sovereign work of God within our lives to conform us to his image. That's what they do, and that's how they work in our life. I want to remind you, as we talked the very first week, that this all starts with that of this act of love, this love relationship that we have with Jesus. We read from the book of Mark chapter 12. We're going to read that again, where Jesus is asked about the greatest of all commandments. It's about relationship. It's where you start with relationships and not rhythms. Because if we get rhythms before relationships, then we miss a morning prayer, or we miss a day of reading scripture, and then all of a sudden we're deducting points from our scorecard. And I've learned a long time ago that I already am falling short in a lot of ways. It's going to put me in a greater disadvantage, in a greater place as well. So that's not what this is about. You see, spiritual formation is the rhythms and practices that conform me to the image of Christ. So last week, week two, Pastor Matthew did a great job where he answered the question, how does spiritual formation work? And he read from the book of John chapter 15. Can I read some select verses that he shared with you last week? John 15 verse 1, I am the vine, the words of Christ, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I love that part. That apart from God working in my life in these areas of spiritual formation and that of bearing fruit, that I can do nothing. And he goes on to say in verse 8, but this my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, he says, and so prove to be my disciples. Let me say something to you with maybe to clarify, so there's no misunderstanding, that bearing fruit and that of the works of our life and good works of our life does not make you a disciple, but it is the proof of your discipleship. That's what you need to understand, that it doesn't make you a disciple, those works, but yet it is the proof of your discipleship. He says that you are to abide in him, that spiritual formations is how they work in my life and your life. It works like a vine and a branches and that of a pruner or a vine dresser, that he's the true vine, we're the branches, and the process of pruning in order that the branches would bear much fruit, and we're grafted into that true vine, and that is Jesus. And apart from that, we can do nothing. Here's what I thought. And I heard Matthew, through being online, say this last week, that Jesus is committed to you bearing fruit because he prunes you in order for you to bear that fruit. And he is never closer in your life than the moments that he is the pruner of your life. Think about that for a moment. That he's never closer to you than that of the moments when he is pruning your life. He is lovingly and diligently at work in your life, in the garden of your life, conforming you to his image. His hands are in the dirt of your life. Oh. His hands are in the dirt of your life. I love that thought. I love that thought. So could you turn to the person, you know this is coming, right? Turn to the person next to you and say, God's hands are in the dirt of your life. Could you say that to them this morning? Very good. Now ask them, so what kind of dirt do you have in your life? No, you don't need to do that perhaps, right? You may not want to know exactly who you're sitting by this morning, correct? So I love this part because this truly speaks to us that as the pruner of our lives, as being the branch connected to the true vine, that he's pruning away those things that need to be pruned away so that you and I will bear fruit, because it is always God's will for you and I to be fruitful. Then week number three, this week, today. Why spiritual formation? And so I go back to that text in the book of Romans chapter 8, where Paul uses this powerful word, conformed. And so I wanted to know really what this word means. I have an idea as to what it means, but what does it really mean? So I looked up that of the Greek meaning, and it means sharing the form and experience of another. I think that's powerful. Sharing the form and experience of another. And when I laid that over this text, what I realized is to share the image of Christ and yet the experiences of Jesus as well. So what that says to you and I, it's not enough to look like him, that we must also act like him. That we must also act like him. But I love the word share. That's part of the meaning of this word, because that doesn't mean this is all up to me, that I just have to transform on my own, that this is done by my will or my own talents or my own abilities or me making good decisions in life. That's not it at all. But what I realize that he is lovingly shaping me into his image. That is a partnership, that I'm submitting and he is shaping, that I'm putting off and he's putting on, that he's pruning and I'm bearing fruit. That it's not just me alone, but yet he's committed to my growth and conforming to his image, because that's God's plan for me. So, you know, if you've been here a while or if it's your first Sunday, well, I'm a father of three sons. And I've come to the conclusion that you have children for the purpose of, well, if you've ever wondered why you have kids, right? I don't know if you've ever wondered that or not, but I'm going to tell you. Okay, so here it is, correct? Yeah, and so if you have children for the purpose of loving and shaping them to grow up. That's it. You have children for the purpose of loving and shaping them to grow up. You know, I love my kids. Reuben, I don't have any kids at home anymore. And we have four grandchildren that visit. And sometimes our kids are there. But we don't have any on a regular basis at all. And so I get to say things to young families like this: is cherish this time with your kids, because man, it goes by so fast. It just flies by, and all of a sudden you wake up and they're not there in the house anymore. So I've forgotten a lot of things about, you know, having kids at home. I've forgotten what it's like to be sleep deprived, right? Yeah. You know, if you're a young parent, you understand. You say, Mark, come to my house. I'll share that with you for sure, right? I forgot that. I forgot what it's like to get up and change sheets on a bed at 3 a.m. because a child has wet the bed and they're sitting on the side of the bed saying things to you like, someone wet the bed, like it was me and not them, right? Yes. It's called living in denial, correct? Yes. Or going to the office and smelling spit up, but there's no baby around you anywhere. It's just kind of locked in your nostrils, right? And you can't get it out. Can't get it out of there. Or the back seat of your car looks like a dumpster at Chick-fil-A, you know, kind of deal, right? Yeah, you know what I mean, correct? Or having small humans in the bed with you as well, and you wake up in the morning and their feet are in your face because they sleep like Olympic gymnasts, correct? Yeah, they're just all over the bed doing all kinds of moves all night long. You understand what I mean? I've forgotten. I've blocked those precious memories from my mind for some reason. I don't know why, but I have. But we want them to grow up, don't we? I mean, that's our heart as a parent, that we want them to grow up. It doesn't mean we don't love them. But we don't have, I mean, we don't want to have a 13-year-old that acts like a 3-year-old. Right? Can I get an amen? Right? Right? And right? Or yet we don't want a 30-year-old that acts like a 3-year-old either. And that's true. In fact, I think that one of the ways that we love our children well is that we posture them for growth. Now, I'm getting to a point, so hang on for a moment. That we create opportunities for growth and maturity in their life. We help them as they get older to navigate those moments that life will throw their way, for them to mature and grow through those moments as well. To love them well, I believe, as parents, we want them to grow and mature spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally. I think we can agree on that point. Perhaps everybody in the room can agree on that this morning. Then why should we think that our Heavenly Father would want anything different for his kids? Think about it. Why should we think that he would want anything different for us than to grow? If this is the mark of a good and a loving earthly parent, how much more is that the heart of our Father for our lives, that we should grow? Why spiritual formation? Because God wants me to grow. Because that's what loving fathers do, to be conformed to his image, to become more like him, to make him known in that process, ultimately for his glory and for my joy. More than anything else, so as I begin to look at this and sit in this for a while, what I realize that why spiritual formation? Because it's his character and his nature as a loving and a perfect father for you and I to grow in him. Understand that you have to feel the heart of the Father. So when I look at these rhythms in my life, these moments for spiritual formation, then what I realize that they're not processes in which God is being punitive toward me. God is not punishing me because he's wanting me to take out, you know, so much time of my day to pray or to read scripture or to have moments of silence and solitude. No, it transforms a 5 a.m. devotional in prayer into a moment of joy in our life. You say, Mark, it's still 5 a.m. Let's be honest, right? Let's be real about this. It's the heart of our perfect, loving Father. It's who he is. So I formulated some answers to this question, why spiritual formation? So here's the first, why spiritual formation? Because it's not just the rebranding of our current spiritual actions. It's not just the rebranding of our current spiritual actions. I read an article by Dallas Willard some time ago on this of spiritual formations, and he touched on this in that article. And man, I wanted to build on that today with you for a moment because it really spoke to my own heart. It's not just a name change for prayer or worship or devotionals or fasting. I think we're experts in our culture at rebranding things to kind of make us feel much better about ourselves. It would be a mistake for you and I to walk away from 3 weeks of talking about spiritual formation this morning to just, you know, maybe I'm going to start a new Bible study, or I'm going to go to Wednesday night one prayer together, or occasional fast, or a Sabbath. No, spiritual formation is about real heart transformation. It's more than just you rebranding your life and doing the things that you do. It's not just adjusting what I do, but it's about transformation of my heart so that the things I do are a true reflection of my heart. And I think sometimes in our life as Christians, it's not at all that way, that we get that inverted. And when we get that inverted, it's the actions of our lives are guiding our hearts instead of our hearts guiding the actions of our lives. And that approach leaves our hearts virtually untouched. 1 Peter 4:17 says, For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us. So transformation starts with me. It starts with the heart, the seat of my being and who I am. It's not just a readjustment or a rebranding of that of spiritual practices within my life. It's far more than that. It's not more and better of what I've been doing, but a sincere repentance in the very depths of my own heart, a surrender of my will to God, because transformation always precedes obedience. And if you place obedience or the attempt of obedience before transformation of your own heart, then you're trying to become your own savior to fix yourself. And what I've learned a long time ago, and I've said this to you many times over the years, we make lousy saviors. Amen? We do. We make lousy saviors of ourselves. It's what Jesus says in that chapter in the book of Mark, chapter 12. A scribe asked him, Jesus, what is the most important, the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. Look at this verse intently. Strength is last. And the heart is first. It is there for a reason. Jesus speaks these words for that reason. And to invert any of that in this process is to simply say that you can make those changes within yourself and on your own. It comes to your heart. It's about transformation. It's not just calling things by different names today. It's not. You see, In that article, Dallas Willard, he used Isaiah 6 and 5. I want to read it to you for a moment. It says, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." I want to quote part of what he said in the article. He says that sometimes the uncleanness of our lips simply comes from the fact that we use the language of our culture and sometimes our religious culture, which may in fact be full of unprescribed godlessness. Think about this. That my growth in God, being conformed to his image, this dirt road of sanctification that we've talked about, spiritual rhythms have to be more than religious words. They have to be more than just rebranding things in our lives. Why spiritual formation? Because it translates into heart transformation. The more I am conforming to the image of the Son, the more I am becoming like him, the more I am like him, then the more that he is glorified in this world. Oh, such a powerful thought. Because isn't glorifying God the essence of our existence in this life? It is. And the more I'm conforming to him and becoming like him, then the more he is glorified in this life. It's a powerful thought to think. It shows you the great place for spiritual formation in your life, in my life this morning. So the second answer is this. Why spiritual formation? Because it is the process in which we are conformed to his image, both individually and corporately. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, as Daniel read earlier, chapter 4, verse 15. Rather, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it is built, so it builds itself up in love. This thought that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Christ being the head of the church, the body of Christ. You and I are growing up in every way, conforming to his image as well. And that is that we're doing this individually and we're doing this corporately together. This body we call the church was never designed to be collectively static, but always dynamic, that we were called to always be conforming to the image of God. It's how we become the church, not just because we gather in a building that's designated to be the church and it has a steeple on the roof. It's not that at all. No. But if we are not conforming individually and collectively, then we're not the body, just a mere crowd. Jesus didn't come to draw a crowd. Understand that. He didn't come to this world, put on flesh. He didn't come to this world and this life to simply be wrapped in our humanity and then die and then rise again on the third day. He just to draw a crowd. He came so that he could build a body, create a body, you and I. Spiritual formation is not just a private lesson, but it is simply a group session. It's about you and I coming together collectively as individuals. And as I'm maturing and I'm conforming to the image of Christ, then functioning as this unique member of Christ, then I have this expectation of God to join you as well in your journey. And we walk this together through the rhythms of our spiritual formation. Look what Paul says. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, he says that we grow up in every way into him. I love this because speaking the truth in love, it's not about necessarily speaking it to yourself. It's about you and I speaking it to one another. And it says, if we do this, then we grow. We grow corporately up in every way into him. It is a powerful concept that he shares with you and I this morning about that of our responsibility to one another, in that of not just, this is not just something that is for us individually, but is powerfully for something that you and I corporately as well, as that we grow up in Christ. I love this. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, again, verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up together. That we function together in that of conforming to the body of Christ through that of spiritual formations, and we grow together. So that means that I'm conforming to his image through spiritual rhythms in my life. And then I see you struggling in this process, so I come alongside of you and I encourage you in this process, and I speak the truth in love to you, and then collectively walk together, and then we're both conforming to the image of Christ. And then we find another brother or sister in the body and they're struggling maybe in this area, so we speak a word of encouragement and truth in love, and now there's three walking in that of conforming to the body of Christ. And so we're functioning as we should function. So as a body, one is a hand and one is a foot and one is the arm and one is the ear, you know, and we're functioning together as a body. And I thought, you know, how far does Paul take this analogy of the body and functioning as parts of the body? Because if they're ears and arms, and then somebody has to be the rear end, right? I thought about that, right? I don't know. I don't know what that means or if that applies here at all. And you can figure that out on your own. But it says that then the body is built up in love. But have you ever been part of a body that was not built up in love? Have you ever been a part of the body that's not built in love? Because what you have in that kind of body is this. You have a body that doesn't value spiritual formations and that of people conforming to the image of Christ. And that's what that brings in a body like that. So what I realize that what Paul does here, that he levels this ground in the area of spiritual formation, whether you're pastor or parishioner, they were all on the same path of growing and conforming to that of the image of God. But I kept reading through Ephesians chapter 4. I love that verse. Those chapters, they're amazing. And so I want to kind of park there for just a few more minutes before I move on, because God is working through you and I, through the gifts that he has placed in us individually for the greater purpose of the body. Verse 7 says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then if you go down to verse 10, that he might fill all things. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What Paul is doing, he's referencing the saving grace of God in our life, yes, but also this subsequent grace that God gives us, unique gifts in our life or gifts for ministry. Each one of us has been given a gift as well. He even goes on to say, if you read all of this, that we're not all called to be apostles like the first century apostles, or that of prophets or evangelists or preachers, teachers as well. The point is that we are all uniquely gifted by God for the purpose of the body. That God speaks uniquely and reveals himself uniquely. I know that's a lot of uniquelys, right? But yet he speaks uniquely and reveals himself uniquely through each one of us, that God desires to speak to you and God desires to speak through you. And his point is to fill us, Paul says, so that you experience him, not just in him working for you in this redemption process, in this area of salvation, but him working through you. It's what spiritual formation does in our lives individually and corporately. So I have one more to share with you this morning. Why spiritual formation? Because God forms us in all the seasons of our lives. God forms us in all the seasons of our lives. I think that when we talk about things like this, that we can allow you to leave here kind of confused sometimes, because in the midst of these spiritual formations and these processes and these rhythms, that things don't always go smooth. They don't. So I don't want to leave you in this moment of frustration. So I want to address a phenomenon that I think that happens in most of our lives at times, and I just call it for myself a spiritual desert. There's moments that we have those in our life. Have you ever had a moment when you prayed, but it seems like that your prayers just don't get through the ceiling of wherever you're praying? Those moments where you fast and there's just no visible result of a fast that you have set on, other than you maybe lost a few pounds, or there's a moment when you say, I'm going to Sabbath today, and I'm going to rest, and I'm going to focus on God and recharge, but yet you leave that day unrested and anxious. Or you take a moment of solitude and silence, but yet your mind is racing about all the things that are going on in your life and you just can't turn it off. You open the Bible and you read scripture, and it seems like the words are just blah, blah, blah to you. You can't focus. Or maybe it's a sin you're struggling with in the middle of all of this, or a hurt that you are experiencing. I wrote in my journal this week, I think for me, but I share it with you, that sometimes God is the creator of the desert, and other times we are. Either way, God forms us in that season. So many of you know I love the Old Testament. I love the stories of the Old Testament. And I want to finish today with reading to you from the book of Hosea. But I want to give you some context about Hosea chapter 2 for a moment. In Hosea chapter 1, God speaks to the prophet Hosea. You can read it later for yourself. Those first 2 to 3 chapters are amazing. I would say that you take some time this afternoon and read those. They're powerful. But God speaks to the prophet Hosea in chapter 1. And God says, and I kind of paraphrase for the purpose of time. He says to Hosea, I want you to marry a woman. And he uses the word of whoredom. Many of your translations would use the word prostitute. He says to the prophet Hosea, I want you to marry a woman of whoredom is what he says. And then I think, in my imagination, not changing the text, but inserting that here for a moment, that he must have said, but God, I'm a prophet. Are you really sure this is what you want me to do? Are you really sure this is what you want me to do? Have you ever said that to God? God, are you sure? And then God says, yes. Her name is Gomer. And he may have thought, well, that's another problem, because that's like marrying Goober's cousin, right? And Google it later, okay? You will not understand it. Okay, yes. And then God says, I'm going to make your heart love her deeply. In fact, you're going to be so captivated by her and this love for her that you can't get away from this love. And then God says to Hosea, oh, by the way, she's not going to be faithful to you. But I'm not going to let you stop loving her. In fact, she's going to go and be with another man, and you're going to go and you're going to buy her back. Do you know what this is? It's a image of God's amazing love for Israel, is what it is. And his amazing love for us. It's his relentless love that he does not let us go. And in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, God says, but then I will win her back once again. This powerful image of Hosea's relationship with Gomer and that of God's relationship with Israel and us. But then I will win her back again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. Hear these words. Don't let this be just another talk from Mark on a Sunday morning. That God leads her into the desert and speaks tenderly to her there. Realize that. And I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. And when that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. I will lead you into the desert, and there in the desert, you will quit calling me master, and you will start calling me husband. Don't mistake the dry places and moments in your life for failure or distance from God. He is working and he is forming you, even in those moments where you may feel like he was a million miles away, he is close to you. Don't judge these moments, these rhythms, by just the way you feel. Today was a success because I felt God was close. Tomorrow, well, who knows? I'll judge it however I feel that God was close to me. And what this teaches you and I is even in the moments of dryness in our life, God is not distant, and God is working powerfully to form you. I think many times we set out with great intentions in these areas to be conformed to the image of God. And the moment we hit a wall, or the moment it's a struggle in our life, that we back off and we claim that to be failure, and God is not working and God is not listening. And this just doesn't, I've had people say, well, this just doesn't work for me. Just doesn't work for me. What I want to say to you is this: don't judge these moments by the way that you feel. God is so close. So my mind, here's the way my mind works. You say, Mark, we've been here for a while. We kind of know the way your mind works, right? I mean, you would be the only guy that would ask, you know, in the body of Christ, who's the rear end, right? But yet, my mind goes at this fast speed all the time. And one of the most difficult things for me to do is those moments of silence and solitude before the Lord, just to sit and be quiet. I'm just being transparent as I can be today, because I have searched for 65 years for the switch to turn my mind off and slow it down, and I haven't found it yet. If you guys know where it's located on me, please tell me after church, okay? And I will definitely find that. It's a struggle for me. But what I've learned a long time ago is that if I will press through those moments and not just go on how I feel at that initial onset, then I find myself being able to experience those moments of quietness before the Lord where God can speak to me. So I said, Lord, how do I do that? I want a practical way to do this. So what I do now, when I'm getting in my car and I'm driving somewhere and I'm not talking on the phone to Reba or somebody else, and I'm calling her, she's calling me, or one of the kids are calling us, that I turn my Apple CarPlay off. I don't listen to music, and I just drive and I'm silent and I listen to God in silence. I don't close my eyes now, okay? Don't think that, right? The Bible says that we're walk by faith, not drive by faith. So I'm not closing my eyes while I'm driving, you know, you see my FJ like flying through a red light one day, say, oh, there's Mark. He's just experiencing silence and solitude, right? No, that's not what this is about. But redeeming those moments where I can and how that works for me, I think it works different for all of us. I struggled in those moments. And I still have to work through those times as well. But man, those moments with God and those moments when I may not hear an audible voice, but God communicates with me in my spirit, my heart, and it's a moment of being refreshed before Him. If I judge that just initially by the way I feel, I would never try again. So don't discount those moments of dryness and struggle as God not working. He's working. He's forming you into His image. You say, Mark, where are you going to leave us today? Oh, I'm going to leave you right here, right? But what I want to say to you is that strategically throughout the rest of this year, we're going to have Sundays where we take moments to just talk to you about spiritual formation. We believe in this so much that we want to talk to you about rhythms that you can enact in your life in order for you to conform to the glory of God in His image. Because the more we are conforming to Him, the more He is glorified in this world. So can I pray with you for a moment? Would you take a moment to bow your heads or close your eyes or however you want to take a posture of prayer this morning? And allow me to pray with you for a minute. So Lord, here we are as your kids. You are our Father, perfect, loving Father. And as our perfect and loving Father, it is your desire for us to grow and to be conformed to your image. And so, Father, today, as you have, through Scripture, challenged us in this area, to where that you want us to experience more than just what you have done for us, but you want us to experience you working through us, then God help us. Because we realize, Lord, truly that none of this is possible without you. And Father, you know us so well that there are going to be moments when we just give up. And there are going to be moments when we are judging what's happening in our life by just how we feel. And if we feel like things are dry, then God, this is not working for us and you're nowhere near us. And God, you have dispelled that in our lives today with a powerful Old Testament story of Hosea and Gomer. So Lord, let today be a day of transformation in our hearts. Let this be a moment that we begin where we should begin, and that is the seat of our being, our own heart. A moment of repentance for our sins. A moment of repentance, Lord, for broken promises that we have made. A moment of repentance because we have not been obedient in our life to you. Start, Lord, help us to start there. Because truly, transformation always precedes obedience in our life because we cannot save ourselves. So change us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are walking with us today on this journey of sanctification. And we lean into you and we trust you because without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Father. Let today be a day of transformation of our hearts. Jesus, we call on you today. We need you in this process. In your name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's teaching. We hope you have a great week.